Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Do you ever have a situation there where, I'm sure you had coaches that you didn't love when you played for them, but did you ever have a coach that you really felt didn't like you?
Yes.
Like, personally didn't like you, not just the way you played? Or
no,
whatever.
I think just the way I played.
Okay.
I mean, I like to think that anyway. I mean, yeah. He might not have liked me anyway, but, yeah, he certainly didn't like the way I played, and I didn't like the way he coached. And so that ended up in a trade.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'll show him. Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you show him in a new city?
Go ahead. You're out of here. Yeah, because we were talking about St. Louis, and I guess he was talking about Tortorella earlier today. And Noodles kind of thought he picked up on something that
it was like not a lot of love loss, if that makes sense.
Which I get from St. Louis, because Tortorella would have been all over him all the time. But I don't think Torts should be in a situation where he doesn't like St. Louis. Like, how can you not? The guy won an MVP and was the major reason why you have a cup ring.
Well, I mean, the only reason that would be, I would think, is, you know, if there's more to the story than we would know. You know, because in a lot of cases, I mean, we hear stuff that, you know, basically scratches the surface of what really goes on. And that's the case for, you know, in a lot of different circumstances. And maybe it's that so with them, if there is that case. I mean, John would have been you got to go back 15 years too, right? John would have been a hard, hard ass to play for. Now he's hard now, but it's not even close. It's not even, it almost sounds like, you know, there's, like, when I listen to him, there's been a little bit of a change through the way John communicates and the way he treats his players. But back then, that was the way. Like, you just drove them into the ground, and, you know, when they didn't respond, you didn't coddle them, you drove it harder. And that would, you know, for some guys, that probably sounded pretty personal at the time.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I guess that's what I'm saying, is that the coach, and considering we're using Tortorella as an example,
right?
He knew what he was doing. He knew the tactic he wanted to use, and he went out there and he used it. And to be insulted or to be overly sensitive because the player doesn't like it seems like that's kind of on you as the coach. Like, what you really think they were going to love that?
Do you think if you got a whole bunch of Dallas star players together, do you think they're going to sing Kumbaya when they talk about Hitch?
No, of course not. He knows that. He has to know that.
Because the coach is looking to punch your buttons any way he can to get you to play the best that you can for him and for the team. And I'm sure, Noodles, you had coaches that would grind your gears in a way that you just didn't like it. But they didn't really care. They were just trying to find a way to get you, when you had to go in, that you played the best that you could play.
Right.
They can like you and all that, but they're looking to punch the button to get you to play the best of your ability. And if that means that you hate the coach, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I would think so. I mean, because you got lots of friends. You want to win so you can stay coaching. That's really the bottom line.
Exactly. You know that they're not going to like it.
I just...
know it as a coach.
You're right. But for me, I would love to see... Now, I've been in coaches' rooms for a couple years. Like, you want to talk about these Uber conversations, you should hear the stuff that goes on. Like, I mean, Ray, you talk to the coaches every day when you're doing color. You get some probably candid comments off the record, obviously.
Yeah, you ask a coach about a guy that's not going well, and the answer will be, he's, you know what, brutal.
Yeah, yeah. I can't play him.
Like, I can't play him. He's useless.
I've had a coach say to me, like, I can't put him on the ice. Like, I'm terrified to have to call his name. And I'm like, all right. And believe me,
5:30.
Yeah, don't tie everything to the Ottawa Senators. I talk to a lot of coaches, so this isn't Guy Boucher talking about a player. This is, you know, I've talked to opposing coaches, opposing assistant coaches. I text with guys all the time, so I try to get a lay of the land. But I don't know how many times I've gotten candid responses about player X. Like, Jesus, this guy looks out of shape. He's like, oh, you should see him with his shirt off. He looks like the janitor. You know, looks like this. You know, like, it's crazy.
I think one of my favorite comments, I asked the coach about a player, and he just looked at me like he didn't say anything, and he went, move on. And I was like, he couldn't even come up with an answer. He just stared, and he's like, move on. Okay, well, I guess that guy's a scratch tonight. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, that's probably all you really needed. You could move on, because that was the explanation you were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, Leafs Devils tonight down at Scotiabank. The Leafs are in Boston tomorrow night. And the Bruins, man, we were talking about it earlier. They gave up an 8 spot last night. And now you got Tuukka Rask, who's leaving for personal reasons. Charlie McAvoy's got a concussion. The Leafs have Matthews out. Nylander hasn't been here at all. So it's not like the Leafs haven't had to deal with some problems themselves. But I don't get the impression like tomorrow night's going to have the same intensity as Game 7 did back in late April.
No, it feels like too many of the main characters are missing for it to be that way. And, you know, it's funny, like Halak had really kind of taken the goal from Rask. And then last night, I don't know, it was a game of dodgeball. I mean, there were goals going in all over the place. And, you know, when Rask went in to finish up, he said after the game, you know, he was just trying to keep it under 10. It was one of those nights. And then, you know, this morning we read that he's left the team for a personal reason, and, you know, whatever that is, I hope it's all right, but he's not there now, so it's Halak in goal. And, you know, you take their best defenseman out of the mix, and, you know, and as a result, you give up, and some other things going on, but you give up 8 goals, which, of course, you're not beating anybody with an 8 spot. The Bruins don't look right, guys. Like, they just haven't played very well for any length of time.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know what the game will look like tomorrow. I mean, Toronto will go in there on the heels of this game, and, you know, they put an unbeaten record on the line on the road, which is amazing. So I'm assuming that's a Sparks game. And, you know, he hasn't played in a month. So in go a whole lot of other variables into that night.
Yeah, without question. And I think he's got to go. You can't start Freddie Anderson on a back-to-back this early into the season when he's been great, but his workload has been too much already.
Well, you want to manage it.
You have to manage
it. This is an opportunity to manage it. There's 3 back-to-backs this month. I think Sparks should play them all. You've got to get him in.
He said something I wanted to ask you about before I forget. So he said, Freddie Anderson, you know, about the number of games, and he said, you know, whatever the number is, it's going to be what it's going to be. But if you finish the year with 10 days, you know, a couple of games in the last 10 days, or you finish it playing 20 straight, that's 2 different things. Right. 20 straight would get you tired. He didn't seem overly concerned about the total. It was about when the total, you know, gets applied. Is that correct?
It is correct, because if you start to take a look and manage the schedule within the schedule, you don't have to tax the body as much. So, for example, if he plays Saturday and then they play, you know, Tuesday, Saturday, you give Sparks the Tuesday, now all of a sudden you're a week in between starts. That's ample rest. So it's about managing the schedule within the schedule. That way he doesn't have to run 20 starts down the stretch. And Vasilevsky admitted last year that he was tired. And, you know, Pierre LeBrun brought up on the show yesterday that he's got a bee in his bonnet. I think he's going to write about it, about what is the magic number for starts for any starter. And the last 3 Stanley Cup winners, the guy has been in the 50s. So is that the magic number? My response to that is, you have to have a guy who can play 25 or 27. It's easier said than done. You know, if the Flames wanted to rest Kiprusoff, they had to put McLennan in the net for 27 games or 25. Like, was I able to do that? That's the challenge. Can Garrett Sparks give Frederik Andersen 22 nights off. That's the challenge.
Yeah, but he can't just give him 22 nights and not get any points.
Right.
Right, that's the challenge I would assume for the backup, who, and you would know it far better, of course, but he's been sitting around for a month. Great, he's been practicing hard and getting lots of shots and lots of game-like drills. But you haven't played in a month.
Okay.
It's got to be hard.
You're right. So when you watch the game tomorrow night, say you cuddle up on the couch, you've got a beer, you're watching the game. When you see Sparks starting, is the first thing you're going to say is, you know what, I'm going to give him a pass because he hasn't played in a month. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Yeah, if he lets in a muffin from the blue line because he's not sharp or he's out of, you know, game practice, like, nobody's going to care. They're going to say, what the hell is Sparks doing? That's the pressure of being a backup, and he has not gone through that process. He has to go through that process, so I would be shocked if he did not get the game tomorrow. I'd be shocked if he didn't get the other two back-to-backs this month. He has to play, and the team has to gain trust in him in case, God forbid, Freddie tweaks something or he gets sick for 10 days or something, then Sparks is the guy. Because, as we all know, the Leafs don't have much depth in net. Their depth is in Carolina and Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, no, he's playing. Don't have an option. He's playing. And listen, this is still a good thing we're talking about the backup because Freddie Anderson's been so good. We could be in Montreal right now where the only thing they worry about is their starter because Price, he gave up a sixth spot again last night. He's given up 11 goals in his last two games. His last five starts, his numbers are brutal.
Yeah.
He's coming off a poor year last year. The contracts kicked in. They've played really well. They're scoring goals. They're putting up numbers. They're picking up wins. The concern is Carey Price.
I'm not worried about him one bit. They're sixth in the NHL. Sixth.
Think about where they would be if you made a stop the past two games.
Well, the two
Noodles.
Games. Like he cost them a point last night. But I
went
Noodles,
through. What's the difference when he's gone from a wider stance to a narrower stance? What's the difference in game? Does he feel awkward? Does he feel...
I think his timing's off, right? I went through the last five games, goals. He's allowed 22. Nine were backdoor plays. So you just take nine off the board right there because they have
one in.
Those are backdoor like situations. Three, I had bad rebounds. So that's managing the puck. That's on Carey. The Ristolainen goal, that should never go in down the wall. Good shot, blah, blah, blah. That's a stoppable
puck. Stop that.
In overtime, when the team has bailed you out, like they scored five last night and they'd give up a goal and Carey would allow one and they'd come right back and score. Like last night was at Carey Price's feet. Against the Rangers the game before, they're up 3-1, they lose 5-3. If you actually take a look, there's some really bad mistakes going on. Usually he can mop that up. Right now, he's even saying, it's in my head, I got to clear my head. So they're going to play Niemi tomorrow. But I'm looking at it, and Ray, getting back to the technical stuff, the only thing that I can see right now is his patience. When a goaltender's not on their game, you see them go down slightly a bit earlier. Like, just from a technical standpoint, I'll go down and I'll play the percentages. That hasn't been Price's mantra. But Price's mantra is like, I'm going to be big. I'm going to stand up on plays. I'm going to look big in the net. There's times where, because of his stance a little bit, he's smaller in the net and he wants to push across, but he's allowing shots that I think he would make those saves and look routine if he's on his game. And he's certainly not on his game. But I'm just... I saw people going nuts in Montreal last night, and I said, well, you know, there is an option. Ben Scrivens and Mike Condon are available, and that's what you had a couple years ago. So
I hear you, but, you know,
like,
it's the highest paid goalie in the league.
I get it, but like Pekka Rene, people were writing this guy off a couple years ago. Like, Sidney Crosby didn't score for the first six games of the season. Like, was he done?
But, Noodles, you're talking about patience. Patience really is confidence.
Yeah.
The same for a player.
Yeah, you're right.
If the skater doesn't have patience, doesn't have confidence, they hold onto the puck a little bit too long or they get rid of it a little bit too quick.
Yeah.
Nothing feels quite right.
Yep.
And Price just, when I watch, I'm like, geez, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't look like him. Like, when he's at his best, he looks like Freddie Andersen right now. Andersen looks like he's half asleep.
Yeah.
He moves like just so solidly. Like he moves across, the puck hits him. It's like it hits a bag of marshmallows. It just drops right at his feet and he covers it up. Like there's no rebounds. It's just simple.
But
that to me is a confident goaltender.
You're right. But he did look like that the first 3 weeks. So that's the difference, is the last 4 or 5 games is hit the ditch.
Well, we'll see. You're calling the game tonight. It should be a really cool vibe down there with the Hall of Famers in tow and a couple of boos, I would think, for Bettman. So make sure you get those in if you can.
Yeah, I love doing this game. I love seeing how proud and happy the Hall of Famers are when they walk on the ice. You know, they walk right past me, and it's just so cool to see. I love this game. It's a fun one to do.
Should be a blast. Enjoy, buddy.
Enjoy the weekend, guys. We'll talk to you Monday.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.